Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Hey, well, it is so good to be with everyone today. Wherever you're tuning in from, whether it's your TV, your laptop, or on your iPhone on the toilet. Yeah, I know there's someone doing that right now, but that's okay, I can't see you. God can. But we're just so excited to have you with us. And I also want to welcome our INC churches that are joining us for this message all around the nation in cities and towns and wherever you're from. We're just super excited to have you with us. My name's Lachlan and I'm the pastor of our Tweed location. And so today, I just think it is so crazy that we can join together like this through technology. And it's amazing to me that the whole world right now is unified around one name. And we're probably all sick of hearing it, COVID-19. And the whole world right now, I just think, is just coming around that one thing. But I'm here today to remind us that there is a name above COVID. There is a name above sickness and disease. There is a name above sin and death. And He is the name above all names. And His name is Jesus Christ. And so I'd encourage you today to even get excited, to allow the Word of God to stir faith in your heart as we proclaim Christ, the hope of the world today. And the message that I would love to bring is our responsibility as believers, as the church, to proclaim hope to the world, especially in this season. I think we could all agree that the world needs hope right now. And the good news is that we get to share the good news about this precious King, the creator of the universe, who left His throne in heaven and He came to earth in the form of His own creation to reconcile a broken and a rebellious humanity. And He came to save us and to redeem us back into relationship with God. That is the hope we can share. And before I get into my main message today, I'd love to share just a story of hope, even through pain, even through tragedy. Just a few weeks ago, in our Yamba location, we lost, tragically, one of our members, and his name was Andrew Hooker. And Andrew Hooker was an absolute legend, and we tragically lost him in a motorbike accident. And he was actually quite a famous, successful lawyer in New Zealand and had done great things in New Zealand. And he built up this lawyer firm, and then he actually sold that firm to Shine Lawyers. And there was this really busy, chaotic time. And he also had a work colleague who was a Christian, who throughout the years of working together, she was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with Andrew. And she was sowing those seeds of the gospel. And so as this lawyer firm transitioned to Shine Lawyers, there was this busy season and he actually experienced burnout and he went into severe depression. And the new CEO of Shine Lawyers said, "Hey, I know you've your wife and you've got a house in Yamba in Australia, you're going to have to go back there for 4 months and recover. You cannot come to work and you've got to get better." And so he goes back to Yamba. And as he's in Yamba, he's so severely depressed that he's actually considering suicide. Really dark time in his life. And I don't know if you've been to Yamba and wherever you're watching from, but it's this beautiful little coastal town where we have a church. And there is this rock wall, this break wall where the river goes out to the ocean. And it's called the Turner's break wall. And he was sitting out on the end of this break wall and he was in such a dark place. And he was looking back to these cliffs that kind of hang over the Turner's beach. And he was looking back at the cliffs saying, "I wonder if those cliffs are big enough for me to jump off and to end my life." And as he turned back and he started to look out to sea, all of a sudden the way he explained it was this water bomb. It felt like a water bomb of peace just exploded on his head and washed over his whole body from the inside out. And instantly he knew he was going to be okay. And so he picked up his phone and he texted his friend, who was a work colleague, the Christian in New Zealand, and he said, "I don't know what's happened. I've just experienced something. I know I'm going to be okay." Well, it just so happened his friend, his work colleague, the Christian, was in church. And the pastor was preaching about, why don't we as a church write on a card the person that we're believing to encounter God? And it just so happened she just wrote down the name, Andrew Hooker. She got out of her seat and she went up and stuck it on the wall of the church building where everyone was putting those names, believing. And she got back to her seat. When she got back to her seat, her phone just went bzzz and buzzed. And she picks up and there's Andrew saying, "I've just encountered something and I know I'm going to be okay." She was obviously ecstatic and she's like, I cannot believe this. You don't understand what's just happened, because they always used to have banter about how God was real or God wasn't real. And from that moment was where that encounter with God happened in Andrew's life, where he became a follower of Jesus. Even though he tragically passed away a few weeks ago, the reality is he's in heaven in the presence of God. You know, God didn't just come to save us just so we'd go to heaven. He came to save us. And the Greek word for that word saved is the word sozo, which means saved, healed, and delivered. So right now, Andrew is saved, he's healed, and he's delivered. Why? Because we worship and we experience together the God of hope. And that's, I'm praying, who you're going to experience today and who we're going to proclaim to the world. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to open to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and this is the Great Commission. And it says this, "And he, being Jesus, said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" It's the proclamation, I believe this with all my heart, it is the proclamation of the gospel that is the most necessary, especially in the climate of the world today. The proclamation of the gospel. And as Christians, we have the greatest message of all time. Jesus is the greatest message of all time. Because as Christians, we're not just talking about joining a Sunday service or an online service. We're talking about the fact that people's eternities are at stake. And Jesus is the only way. And this message of hope, this gospel, this good news is what Jesus has entrusted to us, his church, to proclaim to the world. And I want to remind us today, church, it is the great commission that God has called us to. He wants to partner with us in this. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. Because where the church is silent, the enemy runs wild. And Jesus says that the enemy has one plan. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." That's his plan. But Jesus says, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." The enemy doesn't want people to know that there is an answer or there is a solution to their hopelessness or their sin or their pain. And I've also learned that the enemy wants to silence the church from proclaiming to the world that we know the answer. We have the answer. We carry the answer. But the good news is, Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." I want you to hear that right now. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are called to be a witness. He says, "In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Bill Johnson says it so well. He says, "The Holy Spirit comes in you for you, but he comes on you for others." We are called to tell the world about Jesus. So how do I be a witness? Well, here's the good news. Being a witness for Jesus means it's about Jesus. It's not about us. Because we live in a modern day society, I think we could all agree, of social media, where there's plenty of people who are trying to point to themselves as, you know, they're the answer. They've got all the ideas. They've got all the stuff. And don't get me wrong, there are some incredible people out there. But you may have heard the term that as the church, we are the hope of the world. The reason why we are the hope of the world is because Christ, the hope of glory, lives in us. So I want to remind us, we're not the hope of the world. It's Jesus Christ in us who's the hope of the world. So if we're going to try and dazzle the world with our own abilities, we're going to fall short. But if we point the world to Jesus, they're going to see the glory of God in us. The good news about being a witness for Jesus is we're not trying to point people to us. Instead, we're trying to point people to him. So why don't we agree together today? Let's tell the world about Jesus. And here's what I'm learning. 15 years of following Christ, I am learning that the Holy Spirit is waiting to magnify Jesus. I'm learning that the Holy Spirit operates in power when the Word of God is proclaimed. Look at the beginning of creation. Look at the very first three verses of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. You just think about the earth right now. It could feel like we're in a climate and a season of darkness, of hopelessness, where things have no form or void. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Why was he hovering? Why was he sitting over the face of something that was dark and formless and void and hopeless? Because he was waiting for the word of God to be proclaimed. It says in verse 3, and then God said, let there be light. And guess what? The Holy Spirit moves in power on the word of God being proclaimed. And there was light. The Holy Spirit operates in power when the word of God is proclaimed. The current state of the world, it might look really dark, like we're in a hopeless situation. I don't know what you're experiencing in your financial world right now, but maybe through this current season, it is feeling scary. Maybe you feel that family member or that person you're believing for to encounter God looks like they have no desire whatsoever. I want to remind you again that the Holy Spirit operates in power when the Word of God is proclaimed. He cares about his word. Look in scripture at Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. He's watching. He's waiting. It's like the Holy Spirit is like, come on. Come on. I dare you to say it. I dare you to speak it. I dare you to proclaim it out. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The Holy Spirit operates in power when the word of God is proclaimed. I love what Reinhard Bonnke, the great German evangelist, says. He says, the Holy Spirit's motivation is always the same thing, to charge the word with heaven's own electric power. How awesome is that? The Holy Spirit operates in power when the Word of God is proclaimed. A question that we probably need to ask ourselves is, what is the Word? Is it this whole book? Is that the Word of God? Yes, this whole Bible is the Word of God. But the Apostle John, in his Gospel, the book of John, he sums it up really well. In John chapter 1, verse 1, he says this. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I love his language change in verse 2. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is the Word. This is so exciting. John goes on in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Is that not mind-blowing? And we have seen him, John says, seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And when you pick up your Bible and you start to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you realize that when the written word becomes the spoken word, it brings people to life. And after this message, I would ask you to go and read John chapter 11. And it's a story where Jesus is walking towards a tomb where his friend Lazarus has been laying dead for 4 days. Now, I want you to notice what he does. He doesn't walk up to the tomb and think Lazarus back to life. He walks up to the tomb, rolls away the stone and says, Lazarus, come out. When the written word becomes the spoken word, it brings people to life. And as the church, we've been entrusted with this responsibility of proclaiming the word, of proclaiming the gospel. That word proclaim literally means to announce officially or publicly, or to indicate clearly. My question to us as the church is this: why are we resistant to proclaiming the gospel? Why are we resistant? Myself included, why are we resistant? The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Why are we resistant to proclaiming the gospel? Maybe it's because we have this fear of what people will think of us. Maybe it's because we feel we don't know enough of the Bible. The reason why I chose those 2 points is because they're the 2 major points that I struggle with personally. But I feel as we are opening up the Word of God today, the Holy Spirit is waiting to operate in power. He's waiting to baptize us in something fresh. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time thing. If you read through the book of Acts at the early church, you will see that they were continually filled, and they went and they proclaimed the Word of God with boldness. The Great Commission, this mission of telling the world about Jesus, is fulfilled when the church is not ashamed of proclaiming the gospel. Go, Jesus says, into all the world and proclaim. I love what Nathan Morris says. He says, proclamation is not conversation, it's declaration. This gospel of Jesus Christ is not to be debated, it's to be declared. Jesus didn't say, hey, go into all the world and debate with all people. Now, I'm not saying as Christians that we be obnoxious jerks and we go around and just, you know, no, we're to be loving, we're to be caring, we're to be serving the world. But at some point through serving people, we've got to make a declaration over their life. Do you know Jesus Christ loves you so much? The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, he says, remind them, he's speaking to Timothy, he says, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Don't quarrel about words. When you're telling people about Jesus, I've stepped into this over the last few years where I'm sharing the gospel or I'm praying for the sick and I'm seeing them get healed. And I end up asking this question. I'm said, have you ever heard that Jesus Christ loves you? And they say, never. I'm like, man, as a church, we got a responsibility here. We got to proclaim the gospel to the world. This is the hope that we carry. So how do we proclaim the gospel? We got to understand what the gospel is first and foremost. The gospel literally means good news. And the good news is that God created mankind for a relationship with himself. Mankind fell into sin. We rebelled. We missed the mark of God's holy standard. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to save us from our sin by his blood being shed on the cross, his body being torn apart. He died and he rose again from the dead. And then Jesus ascended to heaven and he sent his Holy Spirit to empower believers. And Jesus is coming back again really soon, the Bible says. He's coming back again for his church. That's the gospel. Now, I could imagine people like, well, how the heck am I going to share that whenever I get an opportunity to share the whole story? I want to put it simply. The gospel means good news, and Jesus is the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. So if we're talking about how do we proclaim the gospel, here's how. We proclaim Christ. We proclaim Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, but it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Isn't that amazing? We as people, we as created beings, God chooses to use us to proclaim this message and people get saved in the process. It says, for Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. How do I proclaim the gospel? I proclaim Jesus Christ. Goes on in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. This is the early church. It says, and now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip, now you can think, well, what was the word? Well, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him, they saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits came crying out with a loud voice. They came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. I believe we're in a season where we want to see joy. We want to see hope. How do we see joy? How do we see hope? It's through proclaiming the gospel. If your family wants to see joy and hope, it's through proclaiming Christ. It's through lifting up the name of Jesus. They went about and they spoke about Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 35 says, and then Philip opened his mouth, beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And here's what I've learned. The Holy Spirit is waiting to operate and activate power when the word of God is proclaimed. And I am just praying that today that there will be a fresh baptism, a fresh impartation where the Holy Spirit, even through listening over a monitor screen or whatever, however you're listening to this message, that the Holy Spirit, who is everywhere at once, will fill you with power. Yeah, I'll finish with this story. Just a few months ago, Tara and I moved into a new unit complex. And as we moved in there, we started to meet people, heaps of friendly people, and we became friends with this one couple that had the kids roughly the same age as ours. And really beautiful people. And I just started to share about Christ with them. And they were so intrigued, they were so open, that they ended up attending one of our Sunday services, and there they both made a decision to follow Jesus. It was so incredible. And now we've been able to walk this journey, just pointing them to Him and celebrating what God's doing in their life. And she's been doing these really cool Instagram stories where she's like, man, I've encountered Christ. I've encountered His love, and it's changing my life. She's also talking about being a part of this church community that has just been so powerful. And then she's had all these friends who have been friends with her for ages on social media, direct messaging her saying, oh, wow, this is so exciting. We're Christians too. And we're so excited that you've encountered Jesus, and He's so good. He's so awesome. And then after that, she told me she was so puzzled, because these same people had tried to sell her business ideas and business opportunities, but had never told her about Jesus. And so she started asking me and said, why wouldn't they ever tell me about Jesus? And it just started to sink into me as a Christian and as a pastor, where I thought, wow, we as the church have an opportunity to step into our responsibility to proclaim Christ to the world, the hope of glory. He's so awesome. In January this year, I had the opportunity to go to the Christ for All Nations School of Evangelism over in Orlando. And it was 3 or 4 days of teaching, and it was really powerful moments. And then 100 people went into the local shopping center just to share Jesus, the gospel, with these people. And it was just amazing what I experienced as I went around and I started telling people, hey, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you today. He has a plan for your life. So many of these people said, yeah, 3 people have told me that in the last 5 minutes. And it sunk in, and I thought, imagine that this wasn't an evangelism school. Imagine that this was everyday life, where the church all around this city, all around this nation, took this seriously. Come on, church, we've got to proclaim Christ to the world. He is the hope for the world. And maybe you're watching right now and you don't know Jesus. That as I've been speaking about the word, there's something happening on the inside of your life and you're feeling something. Can I tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is operating in power. He's bringing your desires to life. God loves you so much. It's not an accident that you clicked on this link or you got invited to watch this service, but God loves you that much that He has a plan for you to be able to watch this message. And He died for you. He died for me, for our sin, to reconcile us back into Him. And He has a plan of hope and a plan of love and a plan of purpose that He wants us to live out here on this earth. And He wants us to tell other people about it. And so if you're here today listening to this message and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, then I'd love to pray for you right now. So would we all close our eyes and just pray together? Lord, I thank You for every person listening to this, especially those people who don't know You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are not bound by geography, God, but You're everywhere at once. So I'm asking, Holy Spirit, as we have preached this word, that You will operate in power and You will bring people to life spiritually. For those people who are listening right now, who are wanting to follow Jesus, surrendering their life to receive this incredible gift of eternal life, whoever you are, wherever you're from right now, I just want you to say these words. If that's you and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, I just want you to pray this prayer between you and your Creator. I want you to say this today. Just say, today, Jesus, I give You my life. I give You my life. Holy Spirit, I thank You for those people who are praying that right now. Lord, I thank You for what You're doing in Your church. And I just pray You would bring us all to life as we continue to follow You, Jesus. In Your mighty name, amen.